Andrew Feinstein is the founder of the Fine Nugget website, denverstiffs.com. And to give credit where credit is due, the Adrian Dantley story broke here in Denver after a New York Post column on Sunday had mentioned his firing. In Peter Vesey's column on Sunday, but the first extended examination of what actually took place appears on DenverStiffs.com under Chris Thomason's byline. So well done. Good reporting by Chris. And Andrew now joins us. And Andrew, I've been doing my best to explain what exactly has transpired here, and we'll get to the opinion on this in a moment, but this is one of those stories that even as I'm explaining it, seems to raise more questions than it answers, right?
I don't know, Sandy. I think this might be much ado about nothing. And I
that could be.
Adrian Dantley's role, and you know, he's served us well for several years, and yes, I will give my opinion shortly, but I think the facts are I don't think he really fit in. I think that you know, in this era of financial austerity, Adrian Dantley was a holdover from the Kiki Vandeweghe era,
right,
when Stan Kroenke's wallet was a lot bigger than it is today. And I have no idea how much Adrian Dantley made, but from what I've gathered from my sources, if you will, he was definitely on the high end, not for Nuggets assistant coaches, but for assistant coaches in the NBA. And it's hard to justify, I think, paying someone an excessive amount of money when his contract was up. And there's a lot of young and hungry guys, and that equals cheaper, who want that job. And I think, unfortunately for Adrian Dantley, I think he was kind of the odd man out.
I said at the top of the show tonight, Andrew, that I think we can say with certainty several things about Adrian Dantley. One, he was an outstanding player and fully deserved election to the Hall of Fame, and was celebrated, I think, for that appropriately here, whether you think he got in on time or a few years too late. He's a very nice man, and he performed in loyal style for many years here in Denver. I think we can all agree on that. Where we get into more of the opinion, and you just touched on it, at this point, owing perhaps partially at least to his senior status as an assistant coach here, he was making a lot of money. Andrew, I found myself last year looking at the bench, regardless of where Dantley was sitting, and I guess that was a bone of contention too, and sometimes, if I didn't look hard enough, I'd forget that he was still on the staff here.
Well, that's, you know, I think what happened, Sandy, is the Nuggets, and me, myself, and I'm sure you and a lot of Nuggets fans, we were disappointed in Adrian's performance as head coach. For the Nuggets to lose to an injury-depleted Jazz team, when the Nuggets had home court advantage, when their coach is stricken with cancer and would do anything just to be in that gym, for the Nuggets to give the effort they gave, and it's not all on Dantley. We've learned, you know, failure is shared by all. But for Dantley not to get those players motivated enough to beat the Jazz was a huge disappointment. And my understanding, and I have got pretty good assurances on this, but my understanding was that they were not comfortable with Dantley being the lead assistant coach. And so by rotating the coaches, there was no longer this seniority thing, so that if, God forbid, something happened to George again, Dantley was the de facto head coach. I actually think that was up in the air last year.
Yeah, and of course, thankfully, that was never put to the test. But I was as interested in the reaction as I was to the story itself, and some of the more critical reaction, criticism directed at Dantley was, hey, you know, he was perhaps offended that he was moved to the back bench and then refused any number of invitations to rotate back to the main bench. But isn't his behavior sort of childish? Just a guy who didn't get his way and pouted while he was sitting there on the back bench?
If that's true, the answer is yes. And I really don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. I thought that he was just being a team player and agreeing to rotate. I didn't realize that he was in the back seat for, I think it was, what, 67
67 games, apparently.
That was news. I just never paid attention to it. I knew they were going to rotate.
Me too.
I knew because of the failure of the 2010 playoffs, I knew ahead of time that they were going to rotate. That wasn't surprising to me.
Right.
But what was surprising was that Adrian moved to the back. And one thing that I don't think anyone's talking about, and I probably should have made this a little more clear on the site as an addendum to Thomason's piece, I don't think Adrian Dantley had a contract going into last season. And I think that they extended him an extra year because of his loyalty. And I don't think that the Nuggets, you know, I don't think he was in their long-term plans, regardless of where he sat.
Regardless of how you feel, was this situation handled badly? We know that in the past with Kroenke Sports, there have been any number of employees, particularly front office people, whose contracts have expired and they've been left to twist in the wind over a period of time, some given assurances that they would eventually be extended and never were. So this is not unusual, and yet, regardless of how you feel about Dantley, isn't it somewhat shabby treatment, just the way they handled this? And now, of course, nobody over the Nuggets is talking. We have only Dantley's side of the story, but at least he's providing a side of the story.
Well, of course, you're bringing up what happened to Mark Workington and
Rex
Chapman, which was very similar. They were basically
and David Fredman years ago out of the front office, too. Exactly the same.
They were teased with an extension, and basically they were made to do their job until the day their contract expired, and they said, see you later. So I have a memo to all employees of Kroenke Sports. If your contract is expiring and you've got about 3 months left on your contract, go look elsewhere and don't count on it.
Do you think, though, that, you know, nice guy, loyal, years of service, stepped into a difficult situation. I agree with you. He didn't do a very good job, but he still stepped into an almost no-win situation. Didn't he deserve more than just, again, we had only his word to go on here, that George Karl calls him aside the other day and informs him he's not coming back? For
hey,
which
look,
Karl
it's
was
lonely,
ripped by Peter Vesey, by the way.
I'm sorry, say it again.
But for which Karl was ripped, not just by fans around here, but by Peter Vesey of the New York Post on Sunday.
He was definitely ripped by Vesey, and I of course, there's no good way to fire someone. And I know they're saying, well, we didn't renew his contract. That's basically firing
him. They fired him, yeah.
And there's no good way to do it. It never feels good. It's horrible. I've had to do it before, so it never feels good, especially when you work closely with someone and they have been loyal to you. And there's nothing worse than when an employee thinks that they've done a great job, but maybe you yourself are not satisfied with their performance, and I think that might be the case here. And I always think it's best to give people a heads up and pay them out their contract. And should something have been done maybe right after the playoffs, should George or somebody, you know, George is really Dantley's boss. It's not Masai, it's not Josh.
Yep.
Should George have said, hey, Adrian, you know what, we really appreciate everything you did, but you know, I know there's a month left on your contract. We'll pay you out a month, but we're not going to be bringing you back. Yeah, that probably was the right way to handle it.
I know that fan reaction on your site has been voluminous. this has not been particularly prominent in the mainstream media yet, but some of the reaction, and I think it's altogether sensible, consists of people wondering, hey, you know, could this have an impact on the development of a Ty Lawson, for example? Without knowing the details of Lawson's relationship with Dantley, I can't say. Could it conceivably have an effect on the negotiations ongoing this week with Nene? Do you have any particular view one way or the other on that?
Well, this is just my opinion. It's going to sound a little harsh, but if these guys loved Adrian Dantley so much, why didn't they step up for him when they had the opportunity to do so? And I just think that as much as we'd like to think that these things matter, I remember the rumor of Workington going to New York was alleged to make Carmelo more comfortable there. At the end of the day, these players really don't care that much. I'm not even sure they care who their head coach is, and I hate to be a cynic, but these guys want to get paid. They want to have as many years and as many guarantees as possible, and that's why I say this is much ado about nothing, because whoever the assistant coach is, I really don't think it's that big of a deal in the long run, unless it's a legendary assistant coach like a Tom Thibodeau.
You know, it's interesting, and again, understandable, but Adrian Dantley is not the first assistant coach to leave. Tim Gergerich left and was very successful this year in Dallas. I don't know about on your website, but we've gotten no reaction, and I mean absolutely no reaction at any point, even during the finals when Gergerich was shown from time to time and even mentioned. We've had no reaction from people saying, for example, boy, wasn't that the guy who was here? Wasn't he close to Carl? Why did we lose him? He's a hell of an assistant coach. He's getting all this praise on national TV. Rick Carlisle's talking about him. We have no reaction. So, I don't know, obviously, what the totality of the reaction to Dantley's departure will be, but it would seem kind of strange if there was a stronger reaction to Dantley's leaving than there was to Gergerich's leaving, when Gergerich was the far more accomplished, important figure here.
I think Gergerich leaving had a huge impact.
I do, too.
And more so than Adrian Dantley. Gergerich, I think Mello called him Yoda,
yeah.
And he meant that in a good way. And I think
Mello was much closer to Gergerich than he ever was to Dantley,
yeah.
Which a lot of fans don't understand, because they figure, oh, a player like Carmelo will relate to another great player back in the day and listen to whatever he has to impart. That apparently was not the case. If Mello was closest to any assistant, it was probably Gergerich.
But remember, I think Gergerich left more as a protest
over Warkentin
not coming back, because he was Mark Warkentin's guy.
Right.
George would have done anything in the world. George would have given a limb to have Gergerich back.
Absolutely.
And George could not persuade Gergerich to come back. When Gergerich saw Warkentin leave, he thought that was kind of the writing on the wall, and he was just he was a loyal guy to work, and that had more to do with it than anything else.
Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, our guest. Andrew, we'll let you run on this, but we mentioned the Nene negotiations a few moments ago. We are fairly certain there will be an NBA lockout as of Friday morning. Do the Nuggets get a deal done with Nene between now and then, or not?
I can't handicap this one, and my 2 cents on this is I think the Nuggets made a huge mistake by not offering Nene an extension when they offered Carmelo one a year ago.
Yep.
Because what did they have to lose? If they re-signed him and ended up with a gutted-out team, which they didn't, of course, but had they ended up with a gutted-out team with a Melo trade, and so what? You've got a very tradable player. And I think that that would have done them well. So given that they didn't offer him one until now, I think the Nuggets are really rolling the dice, and I'd say it's a 50-50 shot. I can't call this one.
Again, couldn't agree with you more. It's right down the middle for me, 50-50. I don't know, Masai came on this station with Mike and Scott, actually Mike and Nate Lundy on Friday, and it seemed earnest, and his quotes in the paper, it seems determined to get something done, and I guess we've learned never to put anything completely past Masai Ujiri. We've underestimated him before. But I think it's at best a 50-50 proposition and a major miscalculation on the part of the Nuggets if they end up losing him. I thought Kislev had it right today. May not be a perfect marriage, but it's a pretty good fit. And
yep.
Pretty good shouldn't be the enemy of perfect. They should
yep.
have gone for pretty good long ago. Thanks, Andrew, once more. As always, we appreciate
Andy,
it.
Andy, anytime. Have a great evening.
Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com.